Hey friends, welcome back to the Semi-Seminary, and I usually like to say here we are, another week, another episode of the Semi-Seminary, but unfortunately we've missed a couple of weeks. Not only is that due, of course, to the holiday season that we've just had, but also, unfortunately, we're dealing with a string of sickness within our congregation, so if you'll keep me and my little church in your thoughts and prayers, we'd certainly appreciate it as we go through this challenging time. But we're going to go ahead and have a bonus episode tonight. Tonight we're going to step away from our look at the book of Job. We're going to look at another character from the Old Testament, a character by the name of Benaniah. Benaniah was a bodyguard and a soldier for King David. And then we find his story in 2 Samuel as well as 1 Chronicles. We're going to find in this character of Benaniah just an incredible story of courage and of faith. So much courage, so much faith, that we're going to find that Benaniah is going to choose to, on a snowy day, follow a lion into a pit and pick a fight. You can imagine that takes incredible courage, takes incredible amount of faith. Let's see what we could learn from this character, Benaniah. And friend, I'm going to see you on the other side. So, we all know the President of the United States has the Secret Service. That's nothing new. He needs bodyguards. But that's something that goes all the way back, even before King David. King David, who lived about 1000 BC, that's the era we're going to look at tonight, he also had bodyguards. He had a personal guard of men as well. And there was a character by the name of Benaniah, who was honored among all of David's mighty men, all of the men of Israel. So David ends up putting him over all of the bodyguards. He was the chief bodyguard. This guy we're going to look at tonight. And let me tell you, boy, did King David need bodyguards. Now, we all know there's always going to be somebody who's going to want to put a knife into a king. But let me tell you, King David had some high-profile enemies. For example, half of the book of 1 Samuel that we find in Hebrew scripture is about King Saul hunting David down. Why? To kill him. Why? Because Saul knows God's plan to give the kingdom to David. So, King Saul tries to kill off the threat to his throne. And even after Saul dies, Benaniah has his work cut out for him because David's son Absalom tries to steal the kingdom from his dad, King David. And for a while, David, just like he was under King Saul, is on the run again. But David ends up living. Benaniah does his job well. Now, you hear me talking about King David, and you probably know from your childhood memories of the Bible that King David killed Goliath. But he's not the only giant slayer in the group. In fact, our character tonight, Benaniah, kills a pretty tall Egyptian, 5 cubits tall, or about 7.5 feet tall. And not only does he kill a guy who's 7.5 feet tall, does it in a pretty impressive way as well. The Egyptian has an enormous spear, described as a weaver's beam-sized spear. And Benaniah's got nothing but a little club. But no worries. Benaniah just snatches the spear from the Egyptian and kills him with his own spear instead. Now, that's hardcore. Let me read to you that account. We find that the Hebrew scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and 23. Scripture says, and he struck down an Egyptian who was 5 cubits tall. Again, 7.5 feet tall. Although the Egyptian had a spear like a weaver's rod in his hand, Benaniah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. But that's not what I've actually come to talk to you about tonight with Benaniah. Because there's another story of Benaniah that I think's even more incredible. It's a story about a time when Benaniah killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, if you're listening and you've heard of the Old Testament character Benaniah, that's probably the part everybody will remember. There's actually more to this story than that. Now, we're going to simplify it later, but I just want to dig in real quickly here because I think there's something really neat. Right before telling us about the lion, the authors tell us something else that Benaniah did. And here's what we'll miss in the cool wordplay that we find in the Hebrew language in Hebrew scripture. Because our English versions will say something like 2 Samuel 23:20, he killed the two sons of Ariel of Moab. And that makes us think, oh, yeah, of course. There was some guy named Ariel, had two sons, and Benaniah killed him. But Old Testament scholars are still divided on what, quote unquote, the sons of Ariel mean. The word Ariel is very similar in the Hebrew for the word lion, Aria. The King James Version actually translates Ariel as lion-like men. If the word is related to lions, then that makes the passage about Benaniah even more epic. If we were to take kind of a literal translation of that scripture from 1 Chronicles, it might read something like, my interpretation, Benaniah was a mighty man. He killed two heroes that were as strong and brave as lions. Also, the dude killed an actual lion. That's what we're talking about here. The ancient world, the first, the 1000 BC version of a Navy SEAL. We're talking about somebody who had incredible courage and incredible faith, a faith and a courage that no matter what might be in front of them, they're unstoppable. And that story can be true for Benaniah, and that story could be true for me, and it could be true for you as well. So, I want to talk to you today about unstoppable courage. So if you have your Bible today, or if you've got your YouVersion app on your phone, or you could just listen. But if you have those things, you can follow along in Scripture. If you have those things, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and that's where our story is going to be. And I'm just going to get up and running straight away from here. So I'm just going to jump right into this discussion about Benaniah first and foremost by having to acknowledge a spiritual truth that sometimes we as humans just don't want to acknowledge. And that doesn't matter that it's not that we don't want to acknowledge it, because it doesn't change the fact that it is true. And the truth is, within the human experience, we have a spiritual enemy. Now, in the Christian faith, often we anthropomorphize this spiritual enemy. We genderize this spiritual enemy. We call him he. We call him Satan. We call him the devil. We call him the deceiver. Whatever label that you would like to attach to the acknowledged spiritual enemy to the human experience, that's what I'm talking about. However it is you conceptualize that. But the truth of the matter is, however you conceptualize it, this spiritual enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy in your life. In fact, I think our deceivers, one of his most effective tricks is planting seeds of doubt as to whether what I'm telling you is actually true. To illustrate my point, you might be listening to me right now and you might be thinking, Jim, I really kind of like the Bible study stuff, but whenever you start talking about the devil, I start thinking about pitchforks and lakes of fire. I don't know if I quite buy into all of that stuff, and I don't buy into that stuff either. I'm just telling you. But at the same time, I think that's exactly the kind of water that our deceiver wants to muddy. He wants to plant seeds of doubt. that perhaps what I'm saying, the fact that there is an enemy within the human existence to truth and to love and to compassion and to enlightenment, the truth that that enemy does exist, I think our deceiver works spiritually very, very hard to convince us that's just superstition. It's bad luck. It's something that we blame on the fact that we didn't wake up and run 5 miles this morning or whatever. We find all different kinds of reasons to excuse away why maybe there's not something out there that we can't quite put our finger on that's pulling us away from what our potential in life is. But the Bible tells us not only does the deceiver exist, but that the deceiver roams around the earth. But the deceiver is like a lion roaring around, seeking someone, something to devour. And our deceiver's great lie is, our great weapon is the lie. Because it's in those doubts and it's in those lies where our insecurities, our fears are embedded. So let me begin this podcast with the main thought, and that's this, that the path to our greatest potential is often through our greatest fear. Let me say that to you, friend. The path to your greatest potential is often straightest through your greatest fear. And you don't need my wisdom or my training or my words to convince you that that's true. Your own life experience tells you that what I'm saying is true. So today I'd like to talk to you about this concept, rather, of unstoppable courage. As I begin, I want you to think about fear, doubt, and think for yourself. What is your greatest fear? I'm not talking about the fear of losing your kids or your spouse, something like that, horrible, horrible loss. But what is your personal fear? What is it that no matter what, you fear more than anything else? For some of us, it might say, I fear failure. I'm so afraid to even try because I am so afraid that I might fail and feel so insecure. For others of us, we might say, I fear conflict, or I fear rejection, or I feel like I'm never, ever going to be good enough. I feel like I'm never, ever going to measure up to what I think I should be, no matter how hard I try. I don't feel like I could ever, ever, ever be good enough. And we need to understand from the Christian tradition, we need to understand the path to our greatest potential is often a direct straight line through our greatest fears. Christian scripture backs this up. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes in the first chapter of his letter to Timothy, the 7th verse, it says this, "For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." God's not given us a spirit of fear. Our spiritual enemy, the lion, that prowls around looking, seeking for us to devour. He's trying to talk us out of God's plan for us by telling us that we'll never measure up, that we can't do it, and that if we'll try, we'll fail. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. The path to our greatest potential is often straight through our greatest fear, and it's true. And if we acknowledge that, then we are on step one towards unstoppable courage. So let's look today at 2 Samuel chapter 23, this guy, Benaniah. Now you might say, you might have been around the Bible. You might say, I think I know who that is. You might likely also be like, I never heard of an Old Testament character named Benaniah. But he's a guy that if you're not paying careful attention whenever you're reading through the Bible, you're going to read right through a very, very interesting story about him. In fact, because he's generally a less known figure, let me just give you a few more things about this character, Benaniah. He's one of the top five soldiers in Israel. He was one of, again, like I said earlier, King David's mighty men. If you think about this, imagine one of the top five soldiers in all of the nation of Israel. I mean, we're talking UFC hardcore, hard-hitting, strength, courage, valor. He was known as a general of the Israelite army. And let me tell you what that meant. That meant that every third month, he would have full command over 24,000 troops. Guy was a leader. Benaniah was feared. He was called to protect the country. He was also the captain of King David's bodyguards. We're talking about a guy who was feared, revered. He was the best of the best. He was brave and courageous in every way. And here's just a glimpse of the story. 2 Samuel 23:20, the Bible says, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Jezreel. He performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day, and he killed a lion. Right? That's courageous. Now, there's a little verse that I just read over that is so easy to miss if you're not paying very careful attention. So let me just point at this verse one more time. Verse 20. The verse says, speaking of Benaniah, it says, he also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Hey, buddies, listen. If you made it this far into the podcast, I hope that you're committed enough that you might do me a little bit of a favor. However you're listening to this podcast, if you could like this podcast, if you could rate this podcast, perhaps you're listening on Apple iTunes, you could rate us, you could follow us on Stitcher, on Spotify, however you're listening to us, if you could provide us some sort of feedback just to let us know you're listening. We would certainly appreciate it. When we receive that feedback, it gives us all the encouragement in the world. Just lets us know that there are people out there listening. So however it is that you're listening, if you take just 1 second and hit like, hit subscribe, hit follow, however it is, rate it, we would certainly appreciate it. All right, back to the story. Now, it's so easy to read right past this. This unstoppable, courageous warrior went down into a pit. It doesn't say he was attacked by the lion. It doesn't say he was trying to protect some innocent 3-year-old girl. Benaniah followed the lion into a pit on a snowy day. And remember, this is before Nike high tops, right, where you got grippers on your shoes or Danner hiking boots with Vibram soles, right? He's probably wearing something more akin to moccasins. And he's going down, he's following a lion, a fearsome animal that can crush our skull with a single bite. So here we've got a guy who goes after a lion, follows him into a cave and kills him, all right? That is crazy courage. There's a pastor and an author by the name of Mark Batterson. He wrote a book on this story. It's called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. And what he says is that people with real faith chase lions. I like that. our spiritual enemy, however you define it, Satan, roams around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. People with unstoppable courage, people with authentic faith, chase lions because they do not let their fears stop them from doing what God has called them to do. Normal people, they don't do that. Normal people don't chase lions. Normal people rarely live by faith. Normal people always have excuses on why they can't do this or that. Normal people rarely ever face their fears. Normal people live with regret because normal people don't chase lions. Here's what I'd like you to ask you to do. As you're thinking about your greatest fear we talked about earlier, or whatever your greatest fears might be, ask yourself, how do those fears impact your daily life? What is the lion that you recognize now, perhaps, that you need to chase? What is it that God is calling you to do to push through your greatest fear so that you can do God's divine assignment and live in such a way to bring God glory? For some of us, there's a personal ministry inside of you. And now, maybe as you hear me talking, you know it. There's a divine burden that is so big, you just can't stand it anymore. There's a divine anger that you're like, why doesn't someone, anyone, why isn't it me? How come it isn't? And why is it this way? Why isn't it that way? And it's boiling up inside of you. There is some, though, fear keeping you from chasing that dream. Maybe God has called you to volunteer in your church, and for whatever reason, you've just not done it. Maybe that's the lion you need to chase. What is it? What is your fear? What is that lion that you need to chase? For some of us, God might be calling us to serve in a children's church. Maybe you're scared to death of six-year-old kids. And you know what? You should be. Because six-year-old kids can be dangerous. But remember, the path to your greatest potential is often through your greatest fear. So, for the remainder of our time together, what I want to do, so I want to show you very simply two very important qualities of those like Benaniah who have unstoppable courage. Think about it. In the light of whatever lion you need to chase, what is God calling you to do that your fear has paralyzed you, kept you from doing? Two thoughts that I hope will inspire us and encourage us to serve God with a passion. The first thing is this. People with unstoppable courage know that the bigger their God is, the smaller the lions become. Recognizing how big the God you serve is makes the lions you chase much smaller. The big challenge today is that too many people are looking at the lions when they should be looking at God. They're looking at what they're afraid of, their fears, and their fears are growing and growing and growing instead of looking to the source that can overcome all lions and fear. I mean, I cannot count the times in my life when I have come up with ideas for this or for that and had naysayers come out of the woodwork to remind me of all of the reasons why it wouldn't or couldn't work, and I was paralyzed with fear and didn't. Maybe you right now, maybe you've got something like that. Maybe there's a burden that God's put on your heart. Everyone's told you why it's not going to work. And maybe you've had people tell you it over and over and over again. But when we stop looking at all of the excuses and start looking at the source of it all of a sudden, what seems impossible with humankind is possible with God. As people of faith, we must recognize that whatever the burden is that God has put on our heart, that all of the excuses in the world for why they might not work are no match for the one thing that will work, God. Lion chasers, people with unstoppable courage, they don't look at the lions, they look at God. In fact, a great example of this we find again in Hebrew scripture in the prophecy of Daniel, who also, right, if your childhood memory of the Bible, also had a very scary day with a lion. The Bible shows that encounter in prophecy of Daniel chapter 6, 20 and 22, when the king came and asked him this after Daniel faced the lion. The Bible says when he is King Darius, when King Darius came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions." Now, what's very, very interesting to me about this portion of scripture is that King Darius was asking about your God. In other words, I don't know what your God is capable of doing. Friend, what is your God capable of doing through you? Because the big challenge today is that there are so many people who believe in God. But when they think of God, God's someone else's God, not their own. It's an impersonal someone or something else. But what can your God do? But when it shifts to what your God can do, to who my God is and who what my God can do, let me tell you, everything changes. So let me ask you, friend, as someone who's seeking spiritual enlightenment, seeking some power greater than themselves, let me ask you, in choosing to serve a God, let me ask you, how big is the God you're serving? Is your God big enough to shut the mouths of lions? Because my God is. Let me tell you briefly about my God, because my God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. My God is ever-present, all-knowing and all-powerful. With my God, all things are possible. My God is the God who spoke and hung the planets in the galaxy by very words. My God spoke and created every living thing on earth and said it is good. My God is the God who parted the Red Sea, the one who could feed people with manna from heaven. My God is the God who can send water from the rock. I don't know how big your God is, but my God is a big God. My God is a God who, if God wants to do anything God can, he will, because God is all-powerful. My God opens blind eyes and heals deaf ears, raises the dead. That's how big my God is. My God is so good that when humankind was separated from God by our own sinfulness, my God is so full of love that God sent the one and only Son, Jesus, born of a virgin. That's how big my God is. And Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. He shed innocent blood for our guilty sin. He died, and my God raised him from the dead. My God said that the tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled away, and that we serve a risen Savior. Friend, that's how big my God is. You see, when you have unstoppable courage, you don't look at the lions. You look at God, who says all things are possible. People with unstoppable courage, people just like you, people just like me, they know, they choose to believe that their God is bigger than the lions. Second thing is that people who chase lions understand that playing it safe is risky. Let me say that again. People who have unstoppable courage, people that have undeniable faith, people who chase lions, they know something. They know that actually playing it safe is risky. Writer to the letter to the Hebrews says 11 and 6, Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here's the big idea. Here's the point of this podcast. What we have to understand is that the goal of faith is not the elimination of risk. There's no such thing as risk-free faith. One of the tragedies today that I believe among so many people who want to believe or trying with all of their might, one of the most common mistakes is that they think that they need to, in their faith, eliminate risk. In fact, if I were to ask you, what are your goals 5 years from now? What would you like it to be, 5 years from now? Most people would say whatever it is, right? But their plans would most assuredly include the elimination of risk and the increase of security in their lives. When in reality, when you're living by faith, the risk increases and our humankind security decreases. Yet, most of us are pursuing exactly the opposite of what God wants us to have. Imagine if David didn't chase that giant. Imagine if Jesus, because of a lack of unstoppable courage and faith, walked away from the cross. Courage. It takes courage to have faith despite the risks. Often faith having unstoppable courage is trusting in God even when, and friend, especially when, there's an increase to our faith and a decrease to our security. But it's the faith that gives us courage. God's going to call on us at some point. God might be calling on you right now to increase your risk and decrease your security. Live by faith. Maybe God's given you a vision, and you have all of the reasons lined up one after another why it won't, isn't going to, never could, we couldn't, we won't, it might not, and you're afraid. Let me guarantee you something. Benaniah, the guy we've been talking about tonight, Benaniah was afraid. He was afraid when he faced that Egyptian with only a club, took his own spear and killed him. And he was afraid when he chased the lion. How do I know? Because Benaniah is a human, just like me and just like you. That's how we all are. If that's you right now, embrace that fear. Feel that fear. Choose to do it anyway. Have unstoppable courage. Have undeniable faith and do it anyway. Take that step. Embrace that fear and look at your God who says all things are possible through me. Let me tell you who you are. You're the blood of Christ. That's how special you are. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Those of you who are believers, you have the same spirit inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You're powered by the Spirit of God. You are planted at this moment in time, at this moment in history, because it was at this moment that God could use you to make a difference. You're not here by accident, friend. And by courage and with faith, you step into what God's called you to do. Step out of your step, out of yourself. Step into God's anointing. Because the path to your greatest fear, like we said right at the beginning, is often a straight line through your greatest fear. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love, of sound in mind. You might say, yeah, I know, but my lion is big. And my lion is scary. I get it. Simply take the first step. Step forward and do what God's called you to do. Or Or perhaps you can actually see it. Maybe it's come more into focus now. Maybe you can see it. And you can say, you know what? The truth is, the reality is, the thing that's been keeping me from doing what God's called me to do is because I've been hesitant. I've been afraid. I've been cautious. I've been living by sight and not by faith. And you know what? I want to take this step in faith, and I want to take this step with unstoppable courage. And if that's you right now, you have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So friend, have the courage to chase the lions in your life. Push through your fear. Because know that on the other side of fear, you can step into the greatest divine potential that God has ever had for you. And that's something. Friend, what do you think? That's an incredible story about Ben and I, right? Maybe that's a story you've heard before. I think a lot of people would say, I've heard of King David, and I know about Goliath, but I didn't know anything about Ben and I. Thanks for telling me that story. That's an incredible story, not only of courage, but maybe an inspiration for my faith and your faith, for our faith, that we might be able to face this world, this incredibly dark world, and shine the lights inside of each one of us so that that world becomes less scary. It becomes more illuminated with God's truth. Our lions, they become more tame and small. Our God becomes more loving, more giving. Our life becomes more peaceful. In the end, I mean, isn't that what we're all searching for? If not, hey, you know what? Send me an email. Let me know why not. And again, while I'm on that, if you could take the time, hit like, subscribe, if you can follow us, however it is that you're following along. If there is some way that you might be able to interact with us, just let us know that you're there. We would appreciate it. Until friends, next time, be blessed.